Right now, we welcome in District 42, Nebraska State Senator Mike Jacobson, joining us for our weekly legislative update. Good morning, Senator. Good to see you back in the studio, sir.
Hey, it's great to be back.
We were talking to you on the air last week over phone as you were working from Lincoln. Had a tour at UNMC, right?
Correct. I had the opportunity to go get a private tour of the University of Nebraska Med Center. What an incredible facility, and what a great asset to the state of Nebraska. UNMC is managed by Chancellor Jeff Gold, and what an incredibly talented individual, bright individual, and someone who really gets the big picture. What impresses me the most, and there are a lot of things that impress me about the Med Center, the cutting-edge research they do, mm-hmm. the facilities, the work that they've done. But keep in mind that this is a university facility, so you've got UNO there, and they are the UNO Med Center, which basically trains our caregivers, and they train a lot of the caregivers throughout the state.
Mm-hmm.
They also have they're also a research facility, and they're also a hospital, and they do all of that in that campus. I was able to go into their new state-of-the-art facility. I did not go into the lower level, nor would I have wanted to. That's their biocontainment facility.
And that's where my son was.
Yeah, it's pretty, and that's in the basement of that major facility.
Part of it, yeah.
Yeah, and they, that's where they brought that Ebola case and dealt with it there. Because they successfully worked through that when COVID broke out, and it was on this cruise ship. Those patients came to the very first COVID patient. There's a picture of it there, them coming in a biocontainment unit, going into that UNO Med Center facility, mm-hmm. and were treated there. But it's the grant dollars that are coming into the state of Nebraska to help support that from the federal government because of the leading research that they do there. Truly impressive. What really got me was the robotics and the 3D learning.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not a doctor. I don't even pretend to be a doctor. That is way above me. I have great respect for those whose minds allow them to focus on the things that they do. You think about learning and how, let's look at the brain, for example, and if you look at that on a flat piece of paper, and then you have to walk through and teach how to do this and how to work on it and what makes it work. What they have is you can put on these, they have this 3D theater, and then they also have the glasses and all mm-hmm. this other stuff where they can use it that way as well, where they literally have a brain that you can turn and rotate in 3D and see all of the pieces of the brain, okay? And
identify the parts which cover speech, which covers
sight. Everything.
Yeah, good.
So they have it in 3D. And they did it in 3D. And to do that, they brought in really an experienced brain surgeon who knows it inside and out. They brought in a professional illustrator mm-hmm. to draw it. And then they brought in a Disney animator to do the animation so that they could make it turn and move and
wow.
be real. So you think about this, and where it used to be when you trained people and you think about use of cadavers and so on, but when you're training people up, you would usually have them learn from the book, then they'd follow a physician around and they'd see them doing things in real settings, and then they ultimately would do it themselves. Well, under this, the equipment that they have there today and this 3D learning, and these instead of a cadaver, they have a picture. There's an arm, and they got tubes running the arm, and you practice doing IVs.
Oh, cool!
And with this fake arm,
mm-hmm.
and it's realistic enough that you can see if you hit the wrong spot, what the blood does. Fake blood will squirt out. But the point is that you practice on this fake arm.
Mm-hmm.
You're not practicing on human beings. You're not practicing on cadavers. And so you get all of this practical experience doing it with real-life 3D animation and these parts that they bring in before you even work on a cadaver.
Wow.
And so the quality of the training is tremendous. And then they also allow doctors from across the state if they want to come in and do some labs, they can come in and do some labs at the Med Center. They have this one room set up where inside is kind of a command center with computers, and then on around it are these fake hospital rooms. And they have computers, and they can put mannequins in there, and they can bring these students in, and then they can make that mannequin do certain things. They can make the heartbeat go crazy. They can make something happen, and then they can observe this through a one-way mirror. Mm-hmm. And the whole purpose of that is to give them real life training without having a real human being there. You know, you think about, and we don't like to talk about this, but one of the big causes of death is still error by a provider. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you think about it, I mean, it has to be. I mean, you know, these people are making split-second decisions on all of these different circumstances. What they're trying to do at the Med Center in their training is get them as many real-life situations without it being a real life.
Absolutely.
To learn on fake situations as opposed to a real person. Mm-hmm. I'm just blown away by what they've done. But at the end of the day, as a rural state senator, and you guys know me well enough, and I keep preaching this, and you'll continue to hear this, I want real investment in District 42 in Western Nebraska. If you're not going to talk to me about real investment out here, you're going to get on my bad side real quickly. And I can tell you that the Med Center is doing just that. They're making physical investments throughout the state of Nebraska, in addition to partnering with folks like Great Plains Health and others, and I've experienced that firsthand being on the board here. But I can tell you that the Med Center gets it. They get their statewide mission. They don't talk about a statewide mission. They live it. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, they're going to have a lot of support from me as they move forward because they are doing the right things.
And obviously we're focused on that for our region, but this Med Center, Senator Jacobson, you know better than I do, is great for the region. I mean, it's bigger than Nebraska.
Absolutely is. It goes well beyond the state of Nebraska. It's nationally renowned and really internationally renowned in the work that they're doing there. And so I'm very impressed with that. And of course, as you recall, this last legislative session, we did provide funding for the facility that they're building now on the UNK campus. And, it's going to be huge. And a lot of people say, gee, why couldn't that come further west? Well, for what it is and for the people they need, Kearney was a good fit for it. And as we can continue to move people further west, you make the jump from Omaha and Lincoln to Kearney, then the leap from Kearney to North Platte and to this region and on to Scotts Bluff and Gehring and so on isn't nearly as far.
And you hit on something too, Senator Jacobson. Although you are a District 42 senator, that's the jurisdiction that you represent, obviously. You're very passionate about the western end of the state as well. And 9 times out of 10, I would say what's good for North Platte is going to be good for Ogallala, good for Scotts Bluff, too.
No question about that. And I can just tell you, having lived in Lincoln and worked in Lincoln for 10 years prior to being transferred out here to North Platte, I saw it. I know what the mindset was in the metropolitan areas in the eastern part of the state. And so once you get out here, I always used to tell people I felt like when I was working at the National Bank of Commerce in Lincoln, I was part of their what they called their six-pack team. We looked at all of the large loans across the affiliation, and we were the final say on whether we were going to do those loans or not. And this was all ag, commercial real estate, the whole gamut. So then I got transferred out here to be the president of North Platte National Bank at the time, and I felt like I went from being one of the key decision makers to now I had to send my loans to Lincoln to get reviewed. And I was like, so did I go through some kind of a ceremonial lobotomy before I left Lincoln and come out here?
Demotion.
You know? Yeah, I mean, it's like you forgot everything you learned when you were there. So and that there is a little bit of that bias. And
that motivation, too, was what sparked the idea for Nebraska Land Bank.
It really was. You know, you really got to the point where the whole reason I left First Commerce at the time is that I felt like I really knew how to run a bank, and I really wanted to make my own decisions, and I really didn't want to be holding to someone else. That particularly, I felt that we could take a lot of the things that I learned in a big setting, eliminate all the red tape, eliminate all of the drama and things that go with it, and bring and put a team of really great trained professionals who can be released and actually do work and actually serve the community. And so that was really the motivation to start the bank. And it'll be 25 years ago in May this next year when will be our 25th anniversary. And so it's hard to believe it's gone. It's been 25 years already.
Time's a funny thing.
I think you made it.
I think we made it. I think you're right. Yes.
Senator Jacobson, anything else you'd like to add this morning, sir?
Well, I'm heading back to Lincoln tomorrow. I've got a meeting here with constituents in North Platte tomorrow, and then I'll be heading to Lincoln. I have a meeting with the university president, and I've got...
With President Carter.
I do, yes.
Oh, exciting.
In fact, Julie and I did go to his Christmas reception last Saturday night.
Oh,
and,
cool.
It was last Friday night. And then drove back here, and we're here over the weekend, and got the church yesterday here in North Platte, which is nice. And we'll be in Lincoln we'll probably be down there through the rest of the week. And I've got different meetings, as I was suggesting earlier. It's amazing all the lobbyists that want to talk to you about would you carry their bill. I would just tell you that I did meet with a lobbyist for the Smart TV TD last week, and I did agree that we work through the details, and I will be. We'll be dropping a two-person crew bill on behalf of the railroad unions out here. I was very consistent in my campaign that this was an important issue to me, and I committed that that's what I would do, and I wanted to meet with them and make sure that we had all the bases covered. It'll basically be the same bill that's been done in the past, only we're going to put in there to increase the penalties for noncompliance because we think those are too low. And so that would be the major change that we agreed to make, and I felt we should make, and they agreed. And then you're reading some things about I did bump into Scott Moore at the president's reception the other night, and he I did indicate to him, just so you know, I am going to drop a two-person crew bill, and he said, well, that's what I'm reading, and then he was kind of hoping we'd consider this alternative, which would be putting these conductors in living from their homes and coming out. And I said, I've already been down that road with the union, and I kind of think I understand how that's going to work. And no, I think we're going to stick with the two-person crew. So.
Well, this is something different, too, because your predecessor had initially, I would say, had some strong concerns about working with lobbyists. I think that kind of changed as Senator Groney experienced the legislature more and more, especially into his second term. He started working more with lobbyists in a different manner. So can you tell us what your approach is, Senator Jacobson, when it comes to working with lobbyists?
Oh, sure. Well, I look at lobbyists as that, you know, let's face it, lobbyists are salespeople, and they're out there working for clients, and they're trying to push their position. But I'll tell you, the good lobbyists, and frankly, if you're not a good lobbyist, you're probably not going to get paid and not going to be down there very much. The good lobbyists are going to approach you, and they're going to try to educate you on the issues.
Mm-hmm.
And most lobbyists are not only going to tell you, here's why this is such a great thing, but every one of them knows that I'm going to ask them a question, and tell me what the other side of the story is. And, oh, by the way, don't leave anything out. because they know that the other side's going to approach me.
Oh, sure.
And the smart lobbyists are going to come in and say, you know, here's all the good things about this bill. But if they don't tell me what the other side's going to come at me with, the other side just has to come and say, well, but what about this and this and this, and then I walk away. So they need to be able to tell me who's going to be opposed to it and why, and tell me why your argument's stronger than theirs.
If they can't do that, they haven't done their research.
And then the other side's going to come and make their case. I will tell you this, the other thing I learned in the short time I was there in this last session, and it was some great advice I got from some senior senators, was when you go and people approach you about a bill, whatever you do, don't make any early commitments to vote for this bill.
Sure.
This bill can move around. It can get amended. You can have a lot of other things happen.
Bill might be put on top of it, too, that maybe you like the initial bill but not what was amended on top of it.
Bingo. And as soon as you make a commitment to someone and you renege on that commitment, your word's no good. And a knock on wood, I made it through the entire session this last year without making any commitment that I didn't fulfill. And I plan to continue that record. And the way you do that is you don't commit early. You make sure that you're comfortable with what you're doing. And I will tell you that, and then when you're going to carry a bill, you better know what the opposition's going to be and be prepared for it, and then do the things you need to do to get the testifiers and all the things you're going to need to make that happen. But this was a subject that I was very clear on early on, and I will fulfill my commitment that I will be dropping and sponsoring two-person bill, crew bill. Senator Jen Day, a Democrat who had brought one in the past, we've contacted her, and and she was going to provide, she was going to sponsor it if I didn't, and agreed to do it if I didn't. And I said, no, I'm comfortable carrying the bill. And so she will likely be a co-sponsor, and I would expect we'll have several others.
And Senator Day's a moderate Democrat. She'll work with the Republicans, too.
She does.
Notice.
Yeah, we worked with her on several bills last year, and I think that's exactly right. I think her dad was a railroader and had some experiences, and that was part of her motivation for doing it. I think everybody understands my motivation. We've got a huge constituency out here. I'm as I've said before, I listen to constituents and I want to respond to constituents' needs. This is a huge hiring base out here. These are great jobs that these engineers and conductors have. These are jobs I do not want to lose in this area. This is a safety issue not only for the crew, but more importantly, and just as importantly, it's a safety issue for the public. And so I'm very much behind this bill, and I will do everything I can to move it along. And it will go to the Transportation Committee. I'm still hopeful that I could get appointed to the Transportation Committee. I do have my name in the hat for going on the Committee on Committees, which would also help me control my destiny into ultimate committee assignments. So it'll be interesting.
Now, Senator Jacobson, you previewed last week that a member of your legislative staff had a question for Mr. Windham.
Yes, Christina.
Yeah, I forgot that, huh?
No, I'm glad you reminded me. I almost forgot about this. Christina wants...
I don't want to be on Christina's bad side.
You're a smart man.
She stays on top of us.
She does stay on top of things. And I'm telling you what, I've learned early on, you better listen to what Christina's telling you.
She's a great resource.
She is a great
about our district.
She is very passionate about this district and the people that live here. So, Rick, here's the question.
Okay.
Christina wants to know, name an herbivore that growls.
A strict herbivore.
A strict herbivore.
Worldwide or North American?
Let's just go with Nebraska. Let's try Nebraska, because the one she's looking at particularly is Nebraska.
All animals will make a defensive noise or type of a growl.
She wants a growl. She's saying growl. I'm just telling you, if she were sitting here, that's what she'd be telling you right now. So I got to make sure I live here with
this. First group of animals that comes to mind are camas, llamas, and alpacas, but they're not native Nebraska.
What about prairie dogs?
Prairie dogs bark. That Lewis and Clark gave them.
I thought she said something about barking too. But but
interesting.
And prairie dogs do have a guttural sound that might be considered a growl.
Well, I'm going to bring my wife into this too, because she's saying cows growl, and even Christina's calling. She's throwing the flag on that one. Okay. Uh-huh. But Julie insists that before a cow moos, it growls.
Okay. There's a growl prior.
Now, I have heard doe deer that are having issues get together, and they will, when the dominant doe is fighting for her stature in the group, they will, I would call it a growl at one another.
Interesting. Well, the definition of growl, too, is a bit out there also.
That's true. Well, I don't know that it's going to be.
What did Christina have for an answer?
Well, she's saying prairie dog. She's going prairie dog.
Okay. What is prairie dog?
Yeah, what is prairie dog? An herbivore that growls.
That's right. Yeah, we mentioned that last week.
I don't think that this is going to have a huge impact on the issues in the state of Nebraska, but I'm glad we got the answer to this question.
We've tackled it at least.
You never know.
No, but I don't want anybody accusing us that we don't take serious issues and take them head on.
Senator Jacobson, if there's any of your District 42 constituents that want to get in contact with you, what's the best way for them to do so, sir?
Sure. The best way to do that is to call the office at area code 402-471-2729. Or you can email me at mjacobson with an O at leg.ne.gov.
Well, Senator Jacobson, appreciate the time as always. Merry Christmas to you and Christina and Joe in the legislative office, and to Mrs. Jacobson as well.
I will, and I want to go on record. I delivered you guys Julie's homemade caramels.
Yes. These are good. I've had these before.
You can't eat just one. They're worse than potato chips
all
the way around. And Joe and Christina, just so you know, I'm bringing bags for you two this week. So.
And bigger.
Yeah, they may get bigger ones.
Well, there's a drive that factors into that, too, so they have to be bigger so Senator can have a few.
I want to hear from Christine if I passed.
All right, we'll get back to you. I'll make sure we get back to you on that.
Senator
Thanks, guys.
Jacobson, thank you.
See you.